Morning, everyone. You want to turn with me this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. First, I'd like to open in a word of prayer. We'll just bow our heads together. Lord, we'd pray, Lord, that this message that we'll be giving from your word this morning will help us as Christians, as ambassadors for you. Pray that this message will go out and touch our hearts, and we'll act upon what we believe you want us to hear this morning, for we're all individuals. And through it, Lord, I just pray that you'll receive all the glory from it. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to begin reading this morning at verse 14. For the love of Christ controls us. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were entreating through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. When we first became Christians, at that very moment, we were ready for heaven. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us that at that moment we were given the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, as a pledge of our inheritance. And we were born again. I always like that song we sing, Born of the Spirit, with life from above, into God's family, divine, justified fully through Calvary's love. Oh, what a standing, I'll say, is ours. So we've been justified before God. We can stand before God, just before him, now that we have been born again into God's family. Our sin has been taken care of. The Bible says it's gone as far as the east is from the west, and God will remember them no more. We're justified before God by the blood of his precious Son. I heard these three words used in our early meeting this morning, and I thought of them. Another word, we've also been sanctified. Sanctified. Boy, when I first became a Christian, we had some words in this book that I really did a lot of studying to look them up, because it seemed every time someone was speaking from the pulpit, I had to almost have the dictionary with me. So we've been sanctified, set apart for God's holy use. That's almost unbelievable, isn't it? Set apart to do God's holy work. And we've been redeemed, bought back, bought with a price, the price of the precious blood of God's only Son, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we're fit for heaven. What a wonderful thing. Now, if you just turn back with me to 1 Corinthians, I just had a verse here I wanted to read. It's one of my favorite. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, if you want to turn to it. 2 Corinthians. Okay, cancel all that. Cancel all that. See you later. Oh my. Okay, we're going to try it again now. We're going to try 1 Corinthians. Do you know what the worst thing about this is? I have it written down. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Are we there? Verse 9. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen, take this in as I read it. Just as it is written, things which eye has not seen, ear has not heard, and we've heard some wonderful things, and we've seen wonderful things in this creation, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. Isn't that wonderful? That's a wonderful thing to just sit and think about that. We'll be going to a place where I've read there's a street of gold. Never seen that. It's a place where there's no sin, where God lives with His angels. There'll be no locks on the doors in heaven, because there'll be no stealing. There'll be no crime of any kind at all. There'll be no doctors in heaven, because nobody will get sick. There'll be no funeral parlors or directors, because there will be no death in heaven. A place of eternal life. And the day that you accepted Christ as your Savior was the day that your eternal life started. But you know, with all that said, we're still here, aren't we? We're still in this old world. And there's a reason for it. God has given us the most high and honorable position. And He's given it to everyone, all of us, as Christians who put your faith in Christ. He's given us the role of making up His bride, or to share with others what Christ has done for them. If we go back to our original reading this morning, back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and verse 20 says this, "Therefore, we are What is that next word? Ambassadors for Christ. As though God were entreating through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Reconciled, reconciliation. Just for fun, I looked the word up in the dictionary. I know what that means, to be reconciled. But I like what the dictionary said. It gave two or three different meanings. But listen to this one. Make two people or groups friendly again. Isn't that wonderful? When we're reconciled to God, it's like we're made friendly with God again. Scripture is very clear. It says, while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for the ungodly. When we were yet enemies of God. There was a time when we were enemies of God, but we've been reconciled, made friendly again with our Creator. So what is an ambassador? All ambassador in this world that we live is, it's a person that's sent from their country to a foreign country to represent their country. It's like a figurehead. And we're ambassadors, the scripture tells us, for Christ. We're to represent Him. That's why I say it's a very high calling. We're to represent Him and heaven. It's a serious and high calling, and it comes with great responsibility. As I was preparing this message, I was reminded of something that happened almost 20 years ago. Happened in Ottawa. There was a Russian ambassador. And he was out one night driving drunk. An ambassador driving drunk. You may remember this story. It was all over the media. And he hit a woman who was out walking her dog that evening. And he killed her. And he sent another woman to the hospital. It was a dark day for Russia and for the Russian people. And, you know, I confess I have a very poor memory, and it's getting worse as I get older. But I remembered that as if it was yesterday it came to me. So as for... if we're ambassadors for Christ, we need to be very careful. We need to be careful what we do and where we go, what we look at, what we listen to, and what we say. Ephesians chapter 5 tells us that we're not to be telling any dirty stories amongst us. That no foul language should be coming out of our mouths as Christians. And no coarse jokes. Just as an ambassador would have to know about the country he or she serves, they also would have to know about the country they represent, right? So I'm thinking about that, and my mind went back to Ephesians chapter 2, and it says, as ambassadors or Christians, we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, handling accurately the Word of God. This book that I'm holding here, or maybe some of you don't know, it's a guidebook for the Christian. This is a book of, could I say, do's and don'ts. And that's why it's important that we read it and study it regularly. It shows us how to live as Christians. John, if you'll turn to John chapter 17 now. John chapter 17. I'm looking at verse 14. And Jesus is speaking. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask thee to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So we're not of this world. And if I'm saying this correctly, what it means is that we're not of the ways of this world. We don't follow its values. Because if we look at the world today, I think I heard it here not too long ago, the world is upside down. Good is bad, and bad is good. And I don't think I'm exaggerating this. The Bible says that we're under the laws of the land, and we need to pray for our leaders. We need to obey the laws of the land. A lot of people in this world who are not Christians think it's okay to break the law. But don't get caught, because you'll have to pay. If you want to find out what it's like really fast to obey the laws, just try driving the speed limit. I see a lot of smiles in the audience. Because the person behind you will literally hate you. They get so upset they'll almost bump into you or cut you off. They'll do whatever it takes to get by you. So don't drive the speed limit, okay? Cancel that one. Drive the speed limit, okay? Write that down. I want all the elders to say that I'm only fooling about that. So, and don't ever follow me. Cheating on your income tax. Is it okay for a Christian to cheat on their income tax? Well, the world would say it's a good thing. Get whatever you can from the government. And people would cheat on their income tax, and then they'd wonder why that their taxes is so high. People would cheat in regard to the insurance companies. They would make claims, false claims, and wonder why their insurance is going up so high. Even honesty is bad in the world today. Trusting is a bad thing today. If you mention to someone, I have a lot of trust in that person, sometimes they'd be very fast at telling you, don't put your trust in a man. Don't do that. Because you're going to be very disappointed. They would say, I wouldn't trust anyone. This is one that I used to be challenged with, but I'm not anymore. I think I've got it in hand, because it happened to me so many times. You'll probably save $100 or $200 on your car repairs if you pay me cash. $200. Man, that's a lot of money, and that's a challenge. Am I right? It happens so many times. Because the next thing that comes out of your mouth is, no, I'll pay the tax. How are you going to look before the people when you say, oh, I choose to pay the tax? You're going to look like an idiot. But sometimes we have to look like idiots. We really do. Because it honors our Lord. Amen? It honors our Lord and our Savior to do what is right. And whatever the consequences would be on us, let it fall on us. We can be fools for Christ. All those who suffer for righteousness' sake It's a good thing to suffer for righteousness' sake. That was it. That was it. I can't quote it though. And it's okay to steal as long as it's from a large company, but don't steal from a friend. Honesty is the best policy. What? Who said that? Romans chapter 12 tells us not to be conformed to this world and its ways. James chapter 1 tells us to keep ourselves unstained by the world. James 4, a friend of the world is an enemy of God. If you're friends with the ways of this world, the Word of God says that you're God's enemy. That's pretty harsh. Paul says in Galatians 6, the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. If you'll turn with me for one last verse here in 1 John. 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. And it's found in getting lost again. Be diligent, it tells us in verse 15. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of God. Well, I've said a lot of things, a lot of don'ts about being an ambassador, but I thought we might look at maybe some do's that we need to do as ambassadors for Christ. In Mark chapter 16, it tells us to go all into the world and preach the gospel. Go into all the world, wherever that may be for you and I. Your world could be different than mine. Luke 14 says to go into the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. John 4, the fields are white for harvest. People are ready. We have to realize we see people out there and they look like they're having a good time. But in their heart of hearts, they're empty. Without Christ, there's an emptiness that only can be filled by God. And as ambassadors, we need to tell them. We need to tell them of our precious Lord and Savior. You may say, well, you know, I'm not an evangelist type. I can't do that. Well, you know, Paul says that we are to do the work of an evangelist. You may not be a said gifted evangelist, but we're to do the work of an evangelist. You may not be a Billy Graham, but there's many ways to evangelize. I remember a number of years ago, we used to go out regularly onto the streets in Ottawa and different cities, and we'd hand out tracts. And I found it hard sometimes to get rejected. A lot of people would give you that and things like that. But I'd like to share with you, if you feel to do something like that, there's people out there who have learned the hard way. I've found if you would go out on the street corner or leave a track in a park bench or a phone booth or something like that, that's a good thing to do because we never know who's going to pick it up. I had a track once and it said simply, yes, you can know. And I would show that to people. And, you know, they want to know. They think they're missing out on something, so they'll take one. And you want to try this sometime. Just get your tracts, pray before you go. And when people come by, just have a smile on your face and approach them. And here's the key. Did you get one of these? Did you get one of these? They think they're missing out on something and they'll take one. One time I gave a tract to a person. I was downtown and I just started to have a conversation with them. Listen how the Lord works. I gave them a booklet and the bus came along. They were waiting for the bus. So he had to leave. Of course, I was right getting to the point where I was going to share the gospel with him. But that person got on the bus and I watched them. And I watched them as the bus pulled away. They were sitting there reading the tract. In 1 Corinthians, it tells us that some plant, some water, but God causes the growth. We're to be good stewards also of our time, what we do with our life here on earth. If you're going to leave a track for the waiter or the waitress, pretty well has to come with a good tip, right? Especially not no tip. You'd be surprised how many people will listen when you share what God has done for you in your life. And it's your testimony. They can't deny your testimony. You always have it. You may say, well, I don't have a good testimony. You say, well, I grew up in a Christian home. I don't have a good testimony. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. And I have a testimony. Well, I don't want to share it right now, but I did a lot of bad things, a lot of stupid things. But people will listen to your testimony, and they can't deny it. Sometimes you can use a survey, just a short survey. What do you believe in? Are you a religious person? And ask a few questions and you get down to maybe the last question. If you died tonight, do you know for sure that you would go to heaven? That always strikes up a conversation because most people will say, well, yeah, because I'm a pretty good person. And we know right away that there's none that doeth good. Not even one. Take them through the Ten Commandments. You'll be lucky if you get through one or two. And let them know that if they break one of God's commandments, they're guilty of all. And the punishment is to be separated from God for all eternity. Because God is a holy God. You may be here today. I don't know. You all. And possibly this message, what I've spoke on up here today, doesn't really mean much to you. Possibly you've tuned out halfway through because you don't understand all this ambassadorship and all the different quotes from the Bible that I've given. So I'd like to leave just a few thoughts in the short time that we have left with you. You may not understand a lot what was said here this morning, but you do have a curiosity about God and about heaven. Possibly you've heard about Jesus, but you're not really sure who he is or what he did. You possibly celebrate Christmas and Easter and all that goes with it, but there's a lot more to it than that. In regards to heaven, I want to put this as simple as I can for you today. Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man will come to the Father but by me. The Bible tells us that all have sinned, all of us, And we all fall short of the glory of God. That means we all fall short of what it takes to get to heaven. For you see, this book of heaven, the Bible, tells us that because of our sins and our iniquities, God has separated himself from us. So if you don't have a real relationship with God, your Creator, who loves you, it's because your sin has separated you from your God. And he loves you, and he wants to come into your life. And you will know, my friend, when you've been born again, you will know without the shadow of a doubt that God resides within you. And you'll also know that you know for sure that you're going to go to heaven when you die, and you'll meet God face to face. But if you don't know him, if you haven't asked him to be your Savior, and you stand before him in all of your sin, the Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. For although God is a loving God who loves you and wants you to go to heaven, he's also a just God. And because he's just, he must punish sin, you see. He wouldn't be a just God if he didn't punish sin, if he just let everybody into heaven. The Bible says this, that God so loved the world, that's you and I. God has provided a way which is absolutely free of no cost for you to go to heaven. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And now if you'll turn with me back to 2 Corinthians 5, we're going to end with this verse. And verse 21 tells us this, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. Here's what God has done for you. Verse 21. He made him, that is God, made him, that is Jesus, who knew no sin. For you see, Jesus knew no sin, because he was God in a man's body. He was the God-man who came to this earth to rescue you from your sin, to pay the penalty that was yours. He died on the cross for you. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become, listen to this now, that we might become the righteousness of God in him, that we might become right before God as if we had never sinned. As Jesus hung on the cross, and we remembered him this morning at 9:30, as we do every week, God took all of your sins and he laid them on his own Son. And then he punished his own Son for what we did. That's what you would be turning away from this morning. That's what it is to go to heaven. It's to recognize what Jesus has done for you. He's the best friend you'll ever have. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. It's been over 30 years now since I've accepted Christ. That day I sat in my car and I said, Lord, I just want to do things your way now. And he came into my life, and he can come into your life. The Bible says you will become a new creature, a new creation. All things will be new. You become a new creature in Christ. Hallelujah. What a Savior. That's all I'm going to say this morning. Thank you all for listening. And I just hope that God will receive all the glory this morning, and possibly maybe we can give a little more thought today going out into the world and not miss opportunities. And it feels pretty good after you share Christ with people. Thank you, Lord, you've given us your word, that your word is a lamp unto our feet. Thank you for saving our souls, Lord, and giving us such a role to be ambassadors for you. And we need you, Lord, to go with us as we go out into this world and share our faith with others. As some will plant, some will water. And we know that you will cause a growth. Pray, Lord, you'll be with us for the rest of the day, and we pray for our Christianity explored tonight, Lord. Pray in Jesus' name, amen.